The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I am Stephen Schleicher, and joining me again this week is Matthew Peterson.
Hello.
And this week we are taking a look at Red Thorn number one from Vertigo Comics.
Your Thorn.
It was a dark and stormy night.
In Glasgow, Scotland.
Yeah.
A hard rain, the kind that cuts your face like tiny knives made of bone.
Or maybe like tiny knives made out of pencils. What is this story about, Matthew?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure. It starts with what seems to be the suicide of a character. And then we meet her sister, who has had strange things happen all her life. And when her sister drew a picture in high school, that picture came to life and attended her high school for a whole semester. And then murdered someone.
I know, it's weird, right? So she's really kind of trying to track down. The younger sister was born well after a year after her sister died. And so she's trying to track down what may have happened. And she gets drawn into a very weird tale about how her drawings and maybe her sister's drawings are maybe tied together. They have some kind of magical power. And there are monsters that lurk. In the Scottish Highlands.
And they both drew repeating pictures of the same strange man.
Yeah, and he's all chained up and imprisoned. And
he's got a kind of a rune on his chest, and he looks like sort of a thing. And I'll bet you his name is Red Thorn.
He's naked.
That's what my thinking is.
There's a little nakedness in this book, so be aware that it is a Vertigo title, and you probably should kind of keep that in mind.
He looks like kind of a naked tattooed Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess.
If that's what you're into.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a weird kind of backstorying, walking into this tale of what this girl is all about and what she's done on her quest. But you're right. It is kind of, I mean, we've kind of described what the story is, but we really don't know what the story is. It's a little bit, you know, last week when we had our murder mystery, our noir tale. It ended and we're like, oh, okay, well, there is something more coming and we know that there's something more coming. You know, this kind of felt like the opening chapter of Lock and Key to me in some parts. But
tonally, yeah, I can definitely
see. Yeah, tonally, but from the story side, it's very, very weird, very different. So I don't know. Fill me in, Matthew. What is not to like about this book?
I think that the major selling point for me is the art. The art is expressive, really well done. And, you know, I don't usually think about the coloring as separate from the art. But occasionally, as with this issue, you'll get a coloring job that's so vibrant and so well handled that I actually think of it as separate and distinct of the art. I mean, everyone in this story looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see facial expressions, that the vividness of the hair colors is just amazing. I think that probably the biggest selling point for this book is if you like a strange, weird, arcane tale with the sex and the magic and the thing and the thing, there are a lot of possible hooks. There are a lot of places where this story could go, much like the immediate comparison in my head was the first issue of The Wicked and the Divine that came out from Image a year or so ago. where there's, you know, they're basically letting you into a whole world where the rules aren't necessarily the same. And you're not necessarily reading the rules. We don't know what the differences are or are not, but we're just sort of thrown headlong into this world. And I think that that also is the weakness of the book.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at this because at one point, some kind of troll swamp thing comes out from under a bridge and tracks her down and gives her a big clue and says, you wouldn't have gone to find it yourself.
But
she doesn't react like it's the worst thing in the world that she's seen, right? She just opens the door and is like, ah, you there, thing. What do you got there? I got something for you. And then he just wanders off and she's like, oh, and this means that somebody has been dead at my hands. And then there's obviously magic in the world. And maybe because one of her drawings came to life and stabbed her teacher when she was younger, she's become desensitized to it. But her reactions to this world of magic seems rather nonchalant.
I would agree with that. And I'm not entirely sure if we're supposed to read that as because she's been exposed to these strange and arcane things and because one of her drawings once came to life and followed her around for a semester.
Yeah.
Or if it's a side effect of the pacing in this issue, which is shotgun pacing. We start with, you know, we start with a flashback, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
We see what I presume to be the last day or days of her sister's life. And then we find her coming to Glasgow. And then there's like the four pages where we talk about her drawing coming to life. And then there's like eight pages where she meets a new boyfriend and they take a tour of Glasgow and they learn about all the things that he loves.
Right.
And there's a lot of references to music and art and, you know, kind of the alternative culture. And then we get, oh, and there's a troll following her. There's a little bit of the sex and there's a little bit of kind of a sex criminals kind of romp where they're breaking into a university building to find the legendary footprint of Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
You know, it really feels like there's a lot. Yeah, a lot going on and a lot happening really fast without a lot of time to process it. Mm-hmm. Again, I understand, especially in today's market, front-loading as much as you can into the book to try and hook people with what you've got and what you can do immediately. I mean, the elevator pitch is fascinating, but anymore, an elevator pitch will only get you so far. And I feel like this felt like maybe three issues worth of developments all wrapped up in one 22-page story. And I think that maybe to me, it felt like the story kind of suffers for that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why. I mean, unless the tour around Glasgow is to get the reader into the environment, it seemed rather out of place.
Well, I think that part of it is to establish a voice and kind of a tone, because as we start, it starts out feeling like one thing. It feels like maybe it's going to be a murder mystery and maybe it's going to be an arcane murder mystery. And then we get to that portion and that's really all about pop culture and putting together a setting and establishing her. And of course, she meets this perfect boyfriend. You know, my first thought, we just got out of a moment where she drew and brought a character to life.
Right.
And this boy is, you know, just amazing and likes all the things that she likes and says all the right things and does all the right things. My first thought is she just drew herself a boyfriend.
That's what I thought too. That's
what
I really thought, that was a drawing guy.
And I thought that was where we were going with this issue, but it doesn't seem to be.
Not yet.
Although, you know, again, that may be a hook for later down the line. I don't know. It didn't go where I went, where my brain thought it was going to go, which is good. It's not a predictable story, but it also, there was some, not even glossing over, just leaping past points of the story that I felt might have kind of slowed things down. Now, granted, there are books that can take this kind of breakneck pace and do 12 issues and have them all be excellent. So I'm still reserving judgment. It's not that it's not an enjoyable issue. It just really felt like it had 60 pages worth of things to say in a 22-page issue.
Yeah, it's just really weird. I mean, it was good, but I don't know. I still haven't decided what to make of it. And this may be one of those where, okay, we'll get the slow burn here or even a slower burn than what we're used to. Things will start to click a bit more as she starts to go through the book and ask the question, why did that thing have it? Where did it come from? And then go into the, now we need to go figure out why these two things are connected. And most importantly, what is this guy chained up under the earth who started out pretty old at the beginning and now looks really young?
And did the troll kill the nice old Scottish lady?
That's what I'm thinking. That's the only thing I can think of, unless, again, like, I mean, I don't remember seeing in any of the pages in her book that troll-like thing, right? Or am I missing something?
Was I didn't see it.
I don't remember seeing it in there. I see her drawing the guy caged up. But, you know, if you wanted to say that there was some connection between that, then you probably would draw. Yeah, not even in the double page spread where we see her art pages do we see any of that creature. So, and I don't think, and I'm pretty sure we don't even see the boyfriend in any of these drawings either. So it could be something that's off panel that will be revealed later, or once she opens up her sister's drawing book and looks at it a little bit more, maybe we will see those things in there. And maybe these are projections of her sister that her sister drew. Cause you're talking 25 years ago and the kid's pretty up on Nirvana.
Right.
For somebody who's supposed to be a hipster.
Well, I think, you know, the hipsters, the hipsters can be into that sort of thing. There's a whole retro vibe. I mean, if you read The Immaterial Girl, it's all about music videos of the 80s and it's kids who are, you know, 20, 25, 30 now.
Okay.
Who can't.
But yes, I think,
barely remember those things.
I think
for sure.
Because we see the hotel manager covered in those shells.
Yeah, the implication is that it murdered her.
Right.
Right.
But she says this thing at the end that it was in my blood.
It was in my blood, yes. Because her sister apparently also drew.
Oh, okay.
Red Thorn.
That's their connection.
In her thing, yes. And that's, I mean, that's another thing, because when I first saw the presumably dead woman surrounded by the shells, I thought that somehow that woman had been possessed by Sigmund of the Sea Monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't think that was it. I think she was actually killed by that thing.
I think that my biggest concern is that when we get to that last page and we see Thorn, next, Live Through This, which, by the way, is a 90s album from the band Hole. I feel like we're getting to the end of this first issue. We're being introduced to the character who gives the series its name.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if this is meant to be his story or hers or both. And honestly, when it comes to a puzzling but still not off-putting first issue, I always remember the lesson of Neil Gaiman's Sandman number one. That I didn't care for. I didn't really like it. I felt like it was paced weird and there was a lot of strange stuff going on. And it didn't tie into things that I expected it to tie into. And it had just sort of a feel like I'd never seen before. And now, you know, the complete run of Sandman altogether makes for one of my favorite collected runs of comics ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to give this the benefit of the doubt, but it really does feel like, at least in this first issue, they have more to say than their either restraint would allow them to do in a more chronologically pleasing way.
Right.
Or they may actually, I'm not sure if this is a limited, there may be a limited run and they have so much story to tell that they want to get everything into their four or six or eight issues.
At this point, to be honest, I think that most series are now being pitched as miniseries. I know that Marvel says, oh yes, Iron Man will never be canceled, but every 6 months we'll have a new volume, a new number one. And I have a feeling
that... And
every
6 months it'll be 24 issues.
Yes. And I have a feeling, though, that this book is probably also conceived as a 6-issue miniseries and or 12-issue, and then if it continues to be popular it'll go from there, but I think right now I'm going with 6 issues.
And they don't necessarily have to try and explain what's going on in the first issue of a 6 or a 10 or even an ongoing series. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like, for my enjoyment purposes of a first issue, I feel like, yes, this works as a first issue, introducing a lot of concepts and making me think, wow, all of these cool things. Do I want to read about these cool things?
Yeah.
As a complete story, it really feels like it's, again, you know, cramped and fast and just so much going on that can really affect your take on a book. I can see reading this book and being very put off by mm-hmm. the amount of information, and there are digressions, and I try not to poke fun at other people's obsessions, but when we get into the digression where they're talking about, you know, the finer points of how to enjoy Nirvana, and oh, this is the greatest bar in all of Glasgow, and I'm sure it's a real place. And then they're walking and they're like, that's the necropolis. And then they talk about Glasgow's right. relationship with the dead. And I'm just like, there's so much in this. I can't decide. Is this, I mean, are we looking at a Lock and Key? Are we looking at a Hellblazer where she's the strange main character in a world that's just a little bit off? Is it a Sandman where everything's going to be nuts? I don't know.
That may be why this might be an ongoing series, because it says here in the solicitations, fans of Fables and the Sandman won't want to miss the riveting dark fantasy epic. So it could be ongoing. And this is just this introduction of this world and some of these characters. And these locations are going to play bigger roles down the line, kind of like a Sandman, the inn where everybody stays, where they have to tell the
World's End.
World's End. Yeah.
I do love that episode. Yeah, that whole book is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It is good.
So back to the comic.
So the art, though, is really good. I like the art a lot.
You know what I like about the art?
What? The boobies and the nakeds?
Well, partly. There's a point where there's a sex scene and it's all like, tee-hee, and then she gets up, right? Mm-hmm. And she gets up and she's not wearing a supportive undergarment in her upper regions, and it's clear. Mm-hmm. And she looks like she has actual, you know, human body parts and a little bit of a stomach. And it's like, this is well drawn, and it tries to do a more realistic looking character, which I like.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a sex scene, you can't do a sex scene with, you know, a Michael Turner Supergirl figure because they don't have any internal organs.
Right, right. Coloring was also very good in this book. I like that a lot. Worked really, really well. I don't know. I think for bottom line for me is it was a different kind of book. I think I need another issue or two to really figure out whether I like the series or not. But the problem is I'm not sure that there's enough in this first series to make me want to push forward to the second series or to the second book.
Yeah. It's that dichotomy with so much going on. If you come back in issue 2 and issue 3 are still this, you know, this high velocity fire hose of setting and place and information and people and characters and moments and Kurt Cobain, is it going to be something where 3 issues down the line, you still have the same feeling? Because right now, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think if I knew that your tastes ran to Lock and Key, ran to strange Vertigo type books, I could cautiously recommend this first issue and say I enjoyed it.
Okay.
You know, but the thing about first issues is sometimes they can be really, really not representative of what the whole series is going to be.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, without really having a whole lot of context, I would say, yes, I would recommend this book in the right situation. And I feel like I'll probably, now there's many varying shades of, I'm going to pick up the next issue. This is that if I remember next time it comes around.
Yeah. And that could be,
and
for
I
me
see
too.
It. Yeah, I'll be willing to slap down my $2.99 or $1.99
$3.99. Unless you, well, here's the other thing too. You can subscribe to this series through Comixology. That's one of the nice things that I like about Comixology is you can just say, "Hey, I want to subscribe to this series," and it's like set it and forget it. It'll let you know a day or two ahead of time that, hey, we're about to charge you for this in case you want to go in and cancel the subscription. But then it automatically puts that book there for you so that when you do remember, there it is.
Throw it in your queue.
Yeah, it's already there. So
That, I'm a little leery of automatic payments, though.
No, it's not that big a deal. I've been using them for a couple of years now, and it's not that big a deal through Comixology. So
that's cool.
All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It is Red Thorn number one from Vertigo Comics. Go check it out. At least go pick it up, at least, and check it out. Look at some of the preview pages that are up on Comixology or MajorSpoilers.com and see for yourself. It is a very pretty book. It has a...
It is pretty.
It has a very high fantasy epicness to it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, fans of Fables and Sandman probably will get a kick out of this.
I'm not entirely sure if part of that isn't a little more calculated than I like, but even that is something that, you know, it's that point where you worry about what's going to happen next rather than enjoying the story you're reading. So if you're enjoying just this story and you're willing to give it that chance to blow up in your face, you know, like we did with, I don't know, Sandman back in the day. By the way, I stopped reading Sandman with number one, didn't come back to like issue 8.
Yeah.
I feel like a dummy.
Back what are you going to do? Serial killer convention.
First appearance of Death, issue 8.
All right.
Where she's sitting down next to him and they're silently sitting and she's like, you know, you're an idiot sometimes.
Have you read any Neil Gaiman books, prose books?
I believe I read his Duran Duran autobiography. I don't know.
I think I'm going to tackle American Gods and see what
I've
that's
heard good things about.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a TV series, so.
I've also heard good things about Unansi Boys.
Okay. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Adam.3 number 4, Conan the Avenger number 20, Empowered Special number 7.
Conan is an Avenger? Man, everybody's an Avenger now.
Matthew, Empowered Special number 7, Pew Pew Pew, Black and White. That's something for you to look at.
Want a dueling revealing on that?
Yeah, we can see. We can hold on to it for a second and see. Itty Bitty Hellboy, Search for the Were-Jaguar number 1.
Were-Jaguar.
DC Comics has American Vampire Second Cycle number 11. It is a $4.99 book. Aquaman number 46. Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet trade paperback. Batman and Robin Eternal number 8. And oh, Matthew Peterson, the book I know you've been dying to read. Dark Knight 3, The Master Race number 1, a $6 book.
There is nothing about those words you said. That
you know, Frank Miller came out and said, oh, you know, Brian Azzarello did a fantastic job in writing this Dark Knight 3 book based on my ideas, but I want to write the Dark Knight 4 myself. Flash number 46. That's what I thought, too. Flash number 46, Justice League 3001 number 6, Omega Men number 6, Sinestro number 17, Superman 46, and Superman, Lois and Clark, number 2. Those are just some of the books coming out next week. Remember, it is the holiday week, and even though you should be able to get your comics on Wednesday as normal, you just might want to check with your comic shop guy, make sure that they're going to be open.
See if they have shortened hours.
Yes, see if they have shortened hours, and I'm going to bet that they're going to be open on Friday, but you won't be able to go in on Thursday, the day we used to go get comic books.
Right. I remember when I was in college. Shipped on Tuesday and Thursday when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah, because I just remember that it was every Thursday before news we would run down to the comic shop and try to buy some stuff. It was either that or I had to wait till Saturday.
In the 80s, there were more than one comic distributor.
Right, it was Diamond, so and books, who was the other one?
I think Capital City. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then books would show up Tuesday and also Thursday. And you usually get the Tuesday books at the drugstore and the Thursday books at the Pump and Pantry.
IDW has Danger Girl Renegade number 3, Fistful of Blood number 2, G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero 220, Star Trek Ongoing number 51, Thunder Agents Classics Trade Paperback volume 6. That's a $30 volume.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
And Weird Love number 10, The Life and Times of Matthew Peterson, $3.99 book.
Weird Love. You know what? You can mock my Weird Love, but...
Image Comics next week has Black Magic number 2, Chew number 52, Fade Out number 11. Cannot wait to get that book. J. Scott Campbell's Time Capsule Hardcover. That's a $50 book.
I don't even know what that is.
I think it's a collection of his covers, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
It's got a really cool cover on it. If you follow him on Twitter, he's been sharing it for the last couple of weeks.
It's got a great cover on his book of covers.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Time Capsule Hardcover. Yeah, it's his first 10 years in the comics industry is what it is. So it's kind of a retrospective. Let's see. Outcast by Kirkman and Azacieta. How do you say his name? Azacieta?
How do you spell it?
A-Z-A-C-E-T-A.
I'd say Azaceta or
Azaceta. Azaceta, number 13. Postal number 8, Ringside number 1, Rumble number 9.
I think
Image is just trolling us now.
Eject, Rumble, Operation,
Saga number 31, Spawn 258, that comic's still going. Witchblade 185,
that comic goes on forever.
Which is the final issue. Issue 185 of Witchblade, that is a $6 book.
The final issue
that's really expensive.
Cost you $7.
It's gonna have to be oversized, I bet.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Marvel Comics has a very short week though. Next week, I only see 15 books. I mean,
only 15.
They have only Wolverine number 2, Angela Queen of Hell number 2, Carnage number 2, Chewbacca number 4, Darth Vader number 13. That's the Vader Down series, so you want to pick that up. They've got the Deadpool Classics trade paperback, Groot number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy number 2, The Guide to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Incredible Hulk Iron Man number 2. That's a long word. Hail Hydra number 4, SWA. Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2, Jessica Jones trade paperback, Alias volume 3. Wonder why they're releasing that next week.
I can't imagine.
Especially volume 3. Why not volume 2 or 1? That is the book that you will want to pick up if you are at all interested in the Netflix series that kicks off this week. In fact, tomorrow. In fact, maybe a few hours from now, depending on when you're listening to this. Hello, future people. Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man Spider-Verse number 1. Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man Ultimate Collection trade paperback. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 1. How about we hit that one up, Matthew?
Moon Girl? Oh, I already called that.
Oh, did you? Okay. Oh, you know what? I'm not sure. We will, okay, hold on. We don't have to talk about this in just a second. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2, Silk number 1, Silver Surfer number 15, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 2, Venom Space Knight number 1. All the rest category, which I'm going to guess we're probably going to have to pick from if we don't do an Image or an IDW book. We have Archie Funhouse Jumbo Comics Double Digest number 17.
Do it!
Archie number 4 with the Annie Wu steps in as the artist.
Woo!
Black Hood number 7, that's from Archie. Crypt of Horror number 27.
Crypt of Horror!
James Bond Omnibus, John Carter Warlord number 13, Jughead number 2, Munchkin number 11, Providence number 6, Power Up number 5, Puppet Master number 9, Rick and Morty number 8, Shadow Tiger number 3.
Tiger of the Shadow.
Let's see what else we have. Stringers number 4.
Shadow Tiger.
What is this? Web Witch number 1 costume change 6 cover set. Mature readers. I don't think we need to be looking at that. Oh, Zen the Hard Bounty Hunter number 2. Zen Intergalactic Ninjar.
I've heard of him.
You have? We had a whole conversation about it last week, and some people wrote in and were like, well, I've never heard of Zen Intergalactic Ninja. You had to really be interested in indie comics back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? How about we try from Image Comics next week, Ringside number 1, just to see what it's about.
Ringside number 1. Sure, we could do that. Ringside
number 1.
It's about John Cena.
Maybe. Who knows? What's this thing? He's doing some show, I think, this fall on CBS.
Yeah, he's actually been hosting the Today Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's interesting this week because it's like, and here's the Today Show with Willie Geist and Tamara Frassiman and John Cena.
Yeah, I don't watch those shows that kind of treat news as light conversation. I watch the CBS Morning News because they're a little bit more direct in their news. And I get a pretty good roundup of what's going on in about 25 minutes.
I don't have control of the work television on Monday, Tuesday.
Sure you do.
Thursday.
You just walk in and said, old people, I'm taking over.
Doesn't happen.
I bet it would if you asked nicely.
It
old
could,
people, I'm taking over, please.
No. No. Not how this works.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it does.
First of all, don't call them old people.
Why, you do?
No, I call them nice grandmothers, oh, which is true. One does not have to be old to be a grandmother. One
as I've told
has
you,
to have.
As I have told you for the last couple of years, you don't have to be old to be a grandmother or a grandparent.
Exactly.
You're like, no, grandparents are old. I'm like, the average age of a grandparent's like 42. And you're like, shut up. My kid's 13 and I'm 42.
My kid's 11 and I'm 44.
Well, see,
who are you having these conversations with?
You.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've got them all archived and I'm going to release them. I'm going to release all of the pre-show kind of stuff, all the best bits, and I'm going to release it in one giant. It's already the file already. Like, no. Listen, the file is already 3.5 hours long.
People are going to realize it's just you talking. And
no.
Uh-huh.
No. It's interesting. There's a great track called "Woman Shut Up," and it's all it's like a whole series of you telling the people in your house to shut up before we record. And then there's a whole track that's called "I'm Hungry," and it's just you going, "Honey, can I have a cookie? Honey, can I have some crackers? Honey, can I have some chips?" It's funny. It is funny.
You're an evil human.
And then there's
being,
a whole track of noises that Matthew makes. And then my favorite, it's almost 15 minutes long, called "Hip
Rude.
Dysplasia."
Rude. You're rude and
no,
you're terrible.
It's funny. It is funny. I guarantee you. We're going to sell it for $29.99.
You were
and
terrible.
We'll sell it up on the iTunes store and it'll make a mint.
Your audio's bad and you should feel bad.
It's a lot of fun. All right. Anything else before we get out of here this week, Matthew?
No, I don't think I'm speaking to you anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode. If you want to see good shows like this supported, and if you do want to see that big behind-the-scenes CD released, then you might want to become a Major Spoilers VIP. You can do that at members.majorspoilers.com. Your small monthly contribution. Now, check this out. We're asking for a small one-time, once-a-month contribution of $2, $5, or $10 a month. When you go to Patreon, a lot of these people set up their Patreon subscriptions to where you're paying per episode that they release. So right. If you're somebody that releases 4 episodes per week and you said, oh, yeah, I'll give you $5 per episode, that's $20 at the end of the month.
$20.
I would love to do something like that, but I know that our listeners work hard for the money. So I'm going to treat you right.
That's right.
And so we're just asking for a small monthly donation, $2, $5, $10. Members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up.
In return.
Carry us into the new year with lots of love and joy.
In return, you get all these great Donna Summer references.
Yes, you do. All right. Thank you once again, everyone. And we will be back next week. It is a holiday week, but we will try to get this out first thing Wednesday morning for you. And until next time, we are going to hear Matthew say,
hey, where's the turkey?
Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.